Well, friends, this is kind of one for the history books, isn't it? We're going to be telling people about this and these moments for years to come. We're not the first to face challenges like we're facing right now, but we are facing them right now. This morning, we're kind of taking a break from what we thought we were going to be talking about in terms of sermon series, and just want to take some time this week and however many weeks that some of these extra coronavirus actions are in place to just talk about what it means to be the church in a time of crisis, and particularly around this theme of what it means to not be afraid. And so if you're following along at home, if you go to columbiagrove.org / message notes, or actually if you're just on columbiagrove.org and scroll around a box or two, you'll find all this stuff. But these could be, these are some discussion notes that we're encouraging you to talk about at home and be getting into God's word together. But this morning, I wanted to draw our attention to, three scripture passages in particular that I think are especially irrelevant. And the first one is this, in Psalm chapter 46, verses 1 through 3. It says this, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Now, if you're following along at home, you go ahead and you just say that right out loud. There's a 30-second delay, so I'm assuming that you're going to do this like in 30 seconds from live. But or you could type along this with me. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though the waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. In other words, we know that God is there even when the world is literally falling apart, or there are moments where it just feels like the world is falling apart. And because I want the sermon to be really interactive today and just a chance for everybody to be involved, I want to throw out a question to you. And if you're following along in the comments section, I invite you to respond in a word or two. What are some of the emotions that you think our culture is experiencing right now? So maybe you write the word fear, maybe you write the word uncertainty, maybe you'd write the word toilet paper. I don't know what you'd write, but something. Just so we're talking to each other about what you're seeing and what you're sensing our culture experiencing right now. So go ahead and do that. Because the greater theme that I want us to spend some time with this morning is these simple words. Fight fear with faith. Now, if you're at home, you're in your living room. Okay, yeah, I'm seeing it. Heather, fear, panic. Tammy, panic. People are experiencing that kind of stuff, which is why it's all the more important as followers of Jesus to fight fear with faith. That's right, Chet. God is good. That's right, Lisa. Frustration, uncertainty, Karen. I see that. Selfishness, we've seen that. Have you ever been to Costco? That's crazy. Why exactly is there such a shortage on toilet paper? I don't get that. Roberto, thank you for joining us today. Shock, helplessness, cautiousness. Sue, trepidation. Karen, yeah, I see Karen. You can do the big words. Good for you. But we're going to fight fear with faith in a culture that is experiencing fear. Because when we do fear, when we experience fear, we turn inward. We think of ourselves. That's one of the reasons why in our culture, right, now we're seeing things that we would not normally see. We're seeing hoarding. Isn't that crazy? We're seeing, like, I can understand a run on hand sanitizer. I don't understand the toilet paper thing. I can understand a run on cleaning products. But here's the thing, folks, is that now it does make sense potentially to buy enough, cleaning supplies to make it 3 weeks, maybe even a month. 2 months, you don't need, let me just say this publicly, so you can zoom the camera in on me if you want to, Michael. Zoom it in, we're going to have a moment here. Okay, you don't need 3 years' supply of toilet paper or Clorox, okay? You don't need that. You can go ahead and you can back that back out a little bit. But that's the thing, is fear makes us do really crazy stuff. We're starting to hear some reports nationally, thankfully. I don't think we've heard any reports of this in our valley, but of xenophobic behavior, of people acting in fearful ways towards people who don't look like them, or maybe come from a different ethnic background. And this morning, it's important that we remind ourselves, as followers of Jesus, or people who are thinking about following Jesus, that when we live in a culture of fear, we need to fight fear with, what's the word? Faith. With faith. Fight that fear with faith. When people are experiencing anger, if people are feeling overwhelmed, or like Rose says, uncertainty, or like Emily says, fear of the unknown. When people are experiencing fear, we need to fight that with faith. And if you're a Christian, or you're thinking about being a Christian, see, we need to remember that we have a special additional source of strength that we can lean on. So let's talk about that. Now Jesus talks to his disciples in John chapter 14. We're going to put the next verse up on the screen here. So this is shortly before Jesus' crucifixion. So he is anticipating his death, and he's preparing his disciples for what's next. And he says these words, and they were applicable to his disciples then, and they are so applicable to us today. "Peace I leave with you," says Jesus to his followers. Whose peace? It's my peace. It's not the peace that you muster up. It's not the peace that Tammy musters up, or the peace that Heather musters up, or the peace that Andrew musters up, or Tony musters up, or Eric or Elijah. The peace that we can tap into in times of hardship, in times of crisis, in times of fear, in times of uncertainty, the peace that we can tap into is the peace of Jesus Christ. We are living in a time where a lot of the things that people have based their lives on, the things that people thought they could turn to for strength and support, they're crumbling, aren't they? The NBA has been canceled. For those of you that would say, oh, life is about basketball. Basketball is awesome. But we can't base our faith on that. We can't make that our foundation. The stock market is dropping. So for those who feel extra degrees of security when the bank is full, when your investments are just going up and up and up, if that becomes the foundation of your faith, if that's where you find certainty and hope, this is a tough time. That's a really tough time. That's why it's so important that we hear these words of Jesus. Can we see that on the screen again? "Peace I leave with you, my peace," Jesus' peace, the peace that Jesus provides to those who put their trust in him by the Holy Spirit. A continuous, indwelling, ongoing source of peace. You have a source of peace that you can tap into that will never, ever, ever run dry. Now, just to allow us to interact a little bit more, I'd like to see if you can in the comment section. And thanks everybody who is commenting. It's wonderful to see how many people are involved in the service right now. In a short phrase, would you share a time when God gave you peace in a hard season in the past? Jesus gave me peace in, or Jesus gave me peace when. So, like you might say, Jesus gave me peace in the midst of work stress. Who's had work stress? I've had work stress. Jesus gave me peace in the midst of illness or grief or loss. It's important to remind ourselves and to remind each other. And that's why if you're watching at home, take a moment and comment. There's a 30-second delay. I'll see it, but other people will see it. Thank you. See, Paul said to help overcome anxiety in my life. That's what Jesus did. That's what Jesus did for Paul. That's what Jesus can do for you. That when we turn to Jesus, we have a source of peace, a source of hope, a source of strength that goes beyond ourselves, that goes beyond our external circumstances. We have a source of peace and strength that is absolutely unshakable. It's peace that comes through Jesus by the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus died on the cross for you as a demonstration of God's love for you, as a way of meeting your and my most basic, most fundamental need, which is to address the issue of sin that separates us from God. The things that you and I have done to disappoint God, the things that you and I have done to turn our backs on God. Jesus dealt with that once and for all on the cross. And when Jesus rose again from the dead, it proved his victory over death, the thing that we fear the most. My peace I leave with you, Jesus says. My peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. The world's sense of peace will let you down. All you need to do is you know, think of the news of the last 3 days. The world's peace will let you down. The peace of Jesus Christ will never, ever, ever let you down. We're seeing some of the, I was going to read back some of the comments on the screen right now. Heather said, Jesus gave me peace at the time when I lost my job. Kristen said, when I was worried about the health of others. Kathy is in the midst of a loved one with cancer. Rose talked about peace in the midst of grief. Don, I'm so glad you could join us. In the midst of health concerns, Jesus gave peace. Diane, when she was widowed, Jesus has been faithful in the past. And so it's important that we train our hearts to trust him in the present. My peace I give you. So if you're a Christian, remember, your peace comes from your Savior. That's worth even, you know, writing down somewhere to yourself. My peace comes from my Savior. My peace comes from my Savior. My peace comes from my Savior. Because what Jesus did for you can never, ever be taken away. Which is why the Spirit of Jesus can never, ever be taken away from you. And I should say to you today, if you're watching online, you know, maybe because you know you went on Facebook, and like every church in the United States is probably on Facebook Live right now, but you happen to dial in here. Or maybe you're watching a few days later and you're just, you know, you made it this far into the Facebook Live feed. Congratulations, thank you. But even right here, right now, live in this moment, or as we're talking in this moment on video, you can know that kind of peace. If you don't yet know Jesus as your Savior, you can ask him into your heart right now. Jesus, I'm scared and I need you. Jesus, I felt distant from you, but I need you. I need you now. He is as close as a prayer like that. It's all about just starting that relationship. It's about talking to Jesus. Talking to the one who gave his life for you. It's that easy. And it can happen right now. Could we post some of those the prayer line numbers again real fast? Because if you're taking that step right now, wherever you are, however you're watching, I want you to know there's people you can, like, in addition to just talking to Jesus by the Spirit, you can talk to a live human being right now. Thank you. Put that on the screen there. And thanks for posting that in the comments section. But you can talk to somebody. We're here. We're here for each other. also want to give you just a few kind of practical tips. So here's some practical tips for fighting fear with faith. Because this coronavirus thing, you know, and this change of pace in life, it might last a while. It might last a few weeks, maybe even more. We don't know. We don't know what the future holds. So here's some things I want to remind us of. First thing is this. Start the day with worship. So that might mean just opening up God's word, you know, or YouVersion. One of the things I like about YouVersion is it also helps to accomplish the second thing on this list, which we also need, which is to stay spiritually connected. You know, we might need to be socially distanced for a little while. But that doesn't mean that we can't stay spiritually connected. Here at Columbia Grove, we're going to be figuring out in the next few days how to retool almost everything. So the connection groups that we offer can be offered online. We're going to figure it out. We're going to train people. We're going to utilize every technology we can possibly do to provide support for one another. But you don't even have to necessarily go through a local church. I mean, to FaceTime with somebody, video chat with somebody, do something, but stay spiritually connected. Start the day with worship. So now the temptation for a lot of us, myself included, I fight with this all the time. You know, this is a season of uncertainty. So you wake up and you're like, your phone is kind of close to your bed, which you probably shouldn't do anyways. But, you know, you pick it up and you're like, newsfeed, what's going on? Everything is changing. Everything is crazy. And you're tempted to just go there first. And I'm not saying you shouldn't be informed. You should. You know, so it's okay to read the news. It's okay to be informed. That's fine. But anchor your heart first. Anchor your heart first. Spend some time in the Word. Spend some time listening to Christian songs. Spend some time just in prayer. Spend some time remembering God's faithfulness to you in the past. That same list that was just shared, and you're seeing it and still continuing to see it in the news feed. Just remind yourself of God's faithfulness. Remind yourself. And thirdly, serve somewhere. Serve somewhere. We're living in a season of, there's going to be some unprecedented needs. A number of local pastors, at least from the Wenatchee Valley, and you might not be watching from the Wenatchee Valley, but a number of us pastors, we gathered yesterday. You need to know that the churches of the Wenatchee Valley are unified in this. We are talking to one another. We're acting as one, and we're meeting with civic leaders. So yesterday I had the privilege of, with those group of pastors, to meet with Mayor Frank Kuntz of Wenatchee and Mark Helm of the Wenatchee School District. These are really fabulous people, people of tremendous character. They're keeping the lines of communication open, and. You know, one of the things that they're telling us, in the churches is that, they are doing the best they can. They're gathering the best people they can, and they're making plans. And over the next couple of days, they're going to be figuring out, like, especially with the schools shutting down, there's going to be probably some needs around childcare and daycare, as families are figuring out what to do and how to take care of your kids, right? And how to still go to work, how to still have income. That's especially true for healthcare workers who need to be prioritized, because we need our healthcare workers to be continuing at their job. What they're doing in the next few weeks especially is going to be vitally important. But here's the thing, all of us have a role to play in that. We don't necessarily know exactly what that is at this moment, but if we're staying connected, and we're open and looking for opportunities to serve one another. And remember, serving one another can also be just simply praying for each other. Like the fact that rather than just going on to Netflix, which I imagine some of you are really tempted to do this morning, and just like, you know, binge watching, there's some great shows out there, or whatever you're doing, and just cocooning, that you took some time this morning to go on, like to actually participate in an online worship service. You took some time to leave some comments, to or like each other's comments. Thank you for doing that. That's one among many ways that we can serve one another. We can stay connected to one another. And over the days to come, There's going to be more tangible ideas that are going to be shared. As we're working with local authorities, as we're hearing about the needs, I was going to mention this a little bit earlier or a little bit later in the service, but one of the things that we're encouraging you to do here with the church is bring in food for the food bank. We're anticipating that those services are going to need support more than ever. So bring stuff in. Continue to work with organizations like Serve Wenatchee Valley. They are doing an outstanding job. But those are ways that we can anchor our hearts, that we can fight the fear with faith. Let's go back to that list real fast. That we start the day with worship, that we stay spiritually connected, and that we serve somewhere. You can serve from home. It's okay to take care and to guard your health, especially if you are part of an at-risk. You're an at-risk person because of your age or because of a pre-existing medical condition. But you can make a difference somewhere. I'm just going to get a drink of water here. I'm getting a little parched. But even in this season, y'all at home, you didn't need to hear that, but I'm sorry. Anyways, but see, even in this season where there, some things might feel a little bit uncertain, right? This could be one of the church's greatest moments. I want to read one more verse that I think is especially applicable today. Now, you've probably heard this one before, but here we go, okay? Matthew chapter 5. Verses 14 through 16. So Jesus is talking to his followers. People are listening to them, to him. And it says this, "You are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. You watching online, you of the few people who are here in the building, you leaving comments, you like Jackie, you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl." Next screen. "Instead," we'll get there. "Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." Church, Christians, this is our big moment. How we respond to the needs of our community over the next few weeks, few months, and ultimately the recovery from this on the far side, years. This is our moment. And if we choose faith over fear, this is the moment where the light of Christ can shine most brightly. This is the world where people are uncertain. Maybe you're watching online right now. You're feeling uncertain. And there is fear. There is anxiety. But there is also a timeless source of strength and peace and hope that can be found in Jesus. And there is the capacity, because of the Holy Spirit, that Jesus has put in his followers and all who would dare to follow him, to live beyond the fear into faith. So that rather than turning inward and hoarding and being xenophobic and just cocooning off as if none of the rest of the world matters, rather than turning inward, we turn outward. First and foremost to God. And we ask God for peace and strength and hope and help. But then secondly, we turn outward to one another. This is our moment. I'm looking straight in the camera. This is our moment. You at home, this is our moment. If you are a Christ follower, this is our moment. This is the time for the light to shine brightly. Do not give in to fear. Choose faith. Anchor your heart. Stay spiritually connected and serve somehow, somebody, somewhere. Now, I want to remind us that when we're choosing faith, faith is not bravado. See, bravado is when we're actually scared, but we try to act like we're not. So bravado, it would be, you know, doing something that you know is risky just to try to prove to yourself that you're not afraid. This is not a time for bravado. So this doesn't mean going up to somebody who may be nervous to shake hands and say, well, I'm going to shake hands anyway because I'm not scared of that stupid coronavirus. That's bravado. That's not love. That's not faith. Putting yourself in risky situations is not faith. That's bravado. Putting somebody else in a risky situation, because the hard thing about this silly virus is we don't always know whether or not we're personally carrying it. There are people that can be, you know, have it and not necessarily feel it. So we don't put others at risk. We don't put others at risk. We choose faith over fear. Not bravado, faith. We turn to God for wisdom and peace. Now, I'm reminded, we're going to do one little nerd thing, couple of nerd things before we close. I'm almost done, but historian Rodney Stark, he wrote an interesting book called The Rise of Christianity. I'm going to read one little quote from this, because you see, we're not the first generation to face, pandemics. And in fact, one of the reasons why, the church thrived because Jesus actually rose from the dead, because all this stuff that we read about and about, you know, the Holy Spirit, all that stuff is true. That's the reason, that's the ultimate reason why. But as Christians lived that out, they lived in some pretty remarkable ways. And it made a huge difference. I want to read a quote from Rodney Stark as he's talking about how Christians responded to the pandemics in the Roman Empire. Hundreds of years ago, Christianity revitalized life in the Greco-Roman cities by providing new norms and new kinds of social relationships able to cope with many urgent urban problems. To cities filled with homeless and impoverished, Christianity offered charity as well as hope. To cities filled with newcomers and strangers, Christianity offered an immediate basis for attachments. To cities filled with orphans and widows, Christianity provided a new and expanded sense of family. To cities torn by violent ethnic strife, Christianity offered a new basis for social solidarity. And to cities faced with epidemics, with fires, with earthquakes, Christianity offered effective nursing services. In other words, the generations who have gone before us, as they have faced challenges similar to this one, rather than shy away, rather than find a hole and hide in it, rather than turn their back on the needs around us, they chose faith. And friends, this is our moment. This is our moment. A couple of practical things that might be able to help. Now, we don't know whether this is going to be needed or not, but one of the partner ministries of Columbia Grove is an organization called Small Miracles. I'm going to put some information on the screen. Okay, there we go, and maybe we can put that in comments as well. This is a ministry that provides meals to at-risk kids. Now, I know that the school districts, they're planning to do some drive-through things. They're figuring things out, and the school districts, they are on it. They're doing a lot. But this may be a ministry that will help to augment what the school district is doing, because they've been working with the school district already. Okay? So if you're on board and you want to help and you say, hey, this is something I could do. Now, Linda, your phone is about to blow up, but you gave me permission. I want you to text right now. I want you to text Linda Belton. Okay? 509-423-1748. You see it on the screen. There it is. It's in the comment section. Text her. Text it real fast. Sorry, Linda, your phone's about to blow up, but here we go. Just leave your name. Leave your name and say, Linda, I'm in. And that way, as those needs arise, that you can stay informed there. The other thing I'd encourage you to do is send us an email here at the church office. Now, some of you who are online, you're just watching on Facebook, you know, you haven't checked in. We don't necessarily know who you are. We don't know how to contact you. We're not going to stalk you on Facebook. Send an email to office@columbiagrove.org. Okay? Let's blow up Nick's inbox. And we'll make certain that you stay informed. Because there's going to be, over the next few days, there's going to be opportunities to connect with one another, because people will need spiritual support. People will need to know that there's other people who are with them in trying times. We need community. And there are going to be some very practical, tangible opportunities to serve. So don't run in a hole. This is not the time to go all anonymous. This is not the time to flinch away from the challenges in front of us. Church, this is our moment. Right here, right now, today. This is our moment. It's time to give people hope. It's time to choose the needs of others above our own. I'm going to show one more thing. This is the last nerd thing. You've probably seen this, but here's what we're trying to do. We're trying to flatten the curve. Flatten the curve. Because, see, what we're being told right now by the CDC, by other medical professionals, and there's every reason to believe what they're saying, is that one of the weird things about this particular virus, because people have it and they don't necessarily know that they have it, so people can be potentially kind of spreading it without knowing that they're spreading it, which is why we're doing all that hand-washing stuff, why we're doing some social distancing. You see, if too many people catch it at once, though most of us are not in any significant risk, if you're under 60, you're probably fine. If you have no other pre-existing medical conditions, you're probably going to be fine. It's interesting that absolutely no, to the best of my knowledge, I mean, for tens of thousands of children have contracted the coronavirus, none of them have died. For whatever reason, this is one that is, thank you, Jesus, is skipping the kids, but it's targeting the elderly. It's targeting the elderly. And so what we're doing with the preventative measures, the protective measures that we're doing right now, we're trying to flatten the curve so that not too many people get it all at once. Of the few people who are going to be heavily impacted, the statistically somewhere between 1.5% and 3%, we don't know exactly. But for the people who are at risk, if too many of them have to go into the hospital all at once, it's going to overrun our hospitals. And we're not going to be able to provide good care. So we're trying to flatten the curve by spreading it out over time so the people who need the services the most can get them. That's what we're trying to do. But for us to do that, we have to, especially as people of faith, we have to choose faith over fear. We have to fight the fear with faith. So that's what we're going to do. This is our moment. That's what we're going to do. So we're going to close in prayer in a minute, and I'm going to invite Eric and Elijah. Thanks, guys. We planned for a young worship team. These guys are like immune to stuff, you know. They're not in any. We're asking them to serve a little bit extra in this season, and they're doing a great job. So, you know, send them some love in the comments section too. But so we're gonna sing a song, part of the song says, "I will build my life upon your love. It's a sure foundation." And here's what I want to invite you to do if you're participating online right now. Okay, is I'd like you to write a phrase of praise. We're going to turn our attention away from ourselves. We're going to turn our hearts to the Lord. So what I want to see happening, especially if you're watching right now, and thanks for sticking with us. Okay. And you stayed online, you stopped the scroll, you're not on Netflix, that's awesome. Okay. Is I want you to fill the screen up with phrases of praise. So that might be a phrase like, "Thank you, Jesus," or "I trust you, Lord," or "God, you are good." I want you to we're gonna fill the comment section with that. We're gonna encourage one another right now by praising God and turning our attention to Him. So let's do that. Let's do that.